One?
Yes, we do.
Now, let's get this out the way first. This pretty lady that's standing next to me, I've had the privilege of being married to here in September. It'll be 45 years that we've been together. And that's pretty cool. Now, even better, on July 7th of this year, her and I will celebrate 36 years of being born again, which is even more important. And it's in this ministry that it happened. It's where it's happened, right in this church. So that's why we're here. I want you to know, we're blood bought.
Yes.
Amen? We are born again believers, water baptized, baptized with the Holy Spirit. We do speak in other tongues, and we honor God with everything we do. Amen. We don't try to. We honor Him. Now, do we miss the mark occasionally? Yes. But we honor God with what we do. Amen? Amen. I love her. She is the love of my life. And we're going to tell you our story. It's not just my testimony, but it's our testimony. Okay? It's find Revelations. We'll go to the book of Revelations and tell you why we're going to do it this way. Why are your hands sweating? You just got done singing. You should be relaxed. This is your, as we kept telling you, family. We're family. We're family. Well, might as well talk like we're in our kitchen. So welcome to our house. This is how we're going to do this, right? Okay, Revelations. And I'm gonna use these little...
cheaters.
Well, I think they're more assistants than cheaters. How's that sound? Verse 11. Revelations chapter 12. You should know the whole Bible, sis. How come you don't? You shouldn't have to tell you the chapter. That's my sister, for those on camera and those who aren't listening. My sister, my actual sister, Diane. The oldest of my four sisters. She is. And one of the people that's very responsible for us standing here and for me being saved. And my sister, Sherry. A couple of cousins. A cousin, Shirley, who I dearly love. Tried to tell me when I was 16 years old about the Lord. Cousin Cindy, cousin Lynn, just people that sowed seeds in our life, in my life, because I didn't know Eleanor at the time. People just, you know, and I was so receptive. Well, no, not when cousin, when I was 16, we weren't married. Well, we married at recess, right? You look so young. Revelations. And during recess, that's why people in the shop ask if it's my sister. Is that your daughter? Is that your daughter? I need to hear that, right? Now, that guy, they may never find his body. No, I'm teased. Okay, this is not going the way I planned it to go. Here we go. Revelations chapter 12. And they overcame, they being us, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. We have to get back to talking about the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood that bought us. It's the blood that took our filthy rags and gave us white raiment. Amen. Amen? It's the blood of the Lamb that saved us. We don't have to go to hell because of the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
And you cannot be ashamed to talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be ashamed, no matter where you are. Now, wow, you know, the package that God gave me here, this whole assembly, had a volume on it, and God just left it on high for me. So when I talk about things that I like, I'm kind of loud about it. I'm kind of loud anyway. But then when I like to talk about things that I really like, I really get loud about it.
Right.
And I get excited about it. And she can tell you. And some occasionally I have to explain to her, this is not yelling. This is yelling! Occasionally I have to explain that to our house. Amen? But the blood of the Lamb is what has bought us. And that's why we're here as believers, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of our testimony, it's our testimony. I don't want anybody in this room to think that we're bragging about what we did. Because the story we're going to tell you, what I did is going to be a very, very obvious. And what God did is going to be very, very obvious. There's a big difference between when I was doing things and when God was doing things. Okay? So no, it's the testimony. Each person in this room, you folks have a testimony. Everybody does. You're here for some reason. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody put up with you. Somebody lived a life in front of you.
That's right.
Right? My sisters, we used to be football fanatics. I mean, Steeler idiots. That's before the Steelers became idiots. We were Steeler idiots. Okay, now people want to kneel down and disrespect this country. Another story. Anyway, we'd be watching a football game at my dad's house. That was Big Sunday. Spaghetti sauce cooked, a couple loaves of Mancini's bread. My sisters would get up and go to church and say, and my dad and I would look at each other and go, what? What? Oh, we're going to church. Are you crazy? No. So, Okay. They were going to church. We thought they joined a cult. Wouldn't know. No, yeah. We're just brilliant, right? So one day I get invited to go to a wedding. Cousin Linda's going to get married. And Diane and Sherry, you got to come and meet Pastor Bannon. He's going to do the wedding. And he's just like you. You're going to like him. You're going to like, a wedding. I got to go to a wedding. Okay. I didn't go to church except the funerals, and that was it. I mean, we were raised Catholic. I didn't go. I didn't go on Christmas or Easter. I just didn't go. True. We had monumental battles over going to church when we first got married. Monumental.
I would drop him off at his dad's house to watch football. I would go to church. And he'd be at home watching football.
Great, huh? Just man of the house. Yes, yes. Mighty man of God. So I say, okay, I'll go to the wedding. So I go to the wedding, and I meet Pastor Bannon. And we're talking. It's just little chit-chat stuff. And he says, why don't you come down someday and hear me preach? And you know what? Before I was saved, before that, I was a man of my word. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So this is how we ultimately ended up here. But before that, now, I was in the Air Force Reserves. I was stationed at 9/11. And one shiny day, while dressed in uniform, I walked into the Federal Credit Union, only to see a lady that would just absolutely knock me out. She was so good looking. That was Grace. That wasn't you. It was the other girl. No. both the ladies are very good looking, but it was absolutely her. Grace is a good friend. Grace is a good friend. She just knocked me out, and I didn't realize how much my life was changed in that minute. So just through visiting in there and just idle talk and, say, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm not. No, she said, tell me nothing. Remember?
Yeah.
You try to tell me, oh, I'm not going out. I used to think, there's no way this good-looking lady's not going out with somebody. All right? So I just, could I take a hint? No. Hard as cement, right? I never got the hint. So it went in one day. We were going to celebrate my birthday, my friends and I. We were heading down to the Wildwest to go skiing. I stopped in to get some money from the credit union, and I had a suit and tie, a three-piece suit. I mean, I was dressed. And I walked into the, and she really won my heart over. She just, what did you say?
You've got hair.
Because she'd never seen me without a hat on before. She never always saw me in uniform, right? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to celebrate birthday. So her and Grace sent me a card with a groundhog on it because my birthday is February 1st. And they sent me a card, and it was really cool. Their names were on. I said, oh, they actually handmade the card. It was great. So, and listen how God had hand in this. I was dating a young lady from the office that I worked in at the time. She's a very nice girl. Very, very nice girl. We got along great. So I get a bunch of cards in the mail. One of the cards is a big Peanuts. Remember Charlie Brown Peanuts? Does anybody here remember all that? Oh, I was a big fan. Still am, right? So my cousin Jimmy and I have always been big fans. Cousin Jimmy is my hunting and fishing partner since we were little kids. He's my best man in the wedding. Love him. So I get this Peanuts card. It says, happy birthday. Guess who? Who else is Cousin Jimmy? Of course it's Cousin Jimmy. So I open it, and of course there's her card in there. So I said, oh my. So I went to the credit union. I said, well, thanks for the birthday card. I said, you know, if you consider going out with me, I'll take my car out of storage and we'll go out. Well, I did. That's what I wanted to, right? So that was the plan. Now, I had a Mustang. I had the last full-size Mustang Mach 1. It was made beautiful. Gold-colored, black racing stripe, forged aluminum wheels, 351 Cleveland engine in it. It was a piece of work. It was beautiful. Yeah. Never saw rain or snow. Never. So take. Well, she consents to go out with me, and doesn't a blizzard hit that night? I don't mean a Dairy Queen blizzard, an actual blizzard. So I ended up taking another car, and we went out. And that, once we started dating, we never went back, never saw Cindy, and never talked to anybody ever again, never wanted to, right? So I guess about 6 or 7 months into our relationship, I'm at the office, and Cindy says, hey, you rat, you never thanked me for the birthday card I sent you. I said, you're the rat. You never sent me a birthday card. She said, did you get a Peanuts card that said, guess who? Uh-oh. My cousin Jimmy never sent me the card. It was her. Or I probably would have never asked her out. So God had another plan. So here we are. We're dating. Things are going along great. Your mom and dad are two of the greatest people I've ever known in my life. If you never met Jim and Thelma Moody, if you never had the opportunity, just fabulous people. I couldn't have had better in-laws ever. I mean that sincerely. My sisters know this, just generous people, just great people. My father-in-law was an undertaker. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Undertaker and a beautician. I had a sign made for the house that said, Jim Moody's Curl Up and Die Shot. Just to show you my sense of humor, right? He worked with teeth. He was a dentist. Yeah. He was an upholsterer. He was a gardener. He was an embalmer. Everything that you can imagine. Yeah, and just so grateful because they brought her into the world. Now, Eleanor's the middle of three kids. Has an older brother, Jimmy, younger brother, David. Great folks. And, you know, it was just so. We started dating, and, you know, I asked her to marry me at the top of the triangle in Pittsburgh. And it was a pretty cool evening. We were married in 1976. Now, both of us had good jobs. And, you know, I mean, we had good jobs. But you'd think that would be enough for me, right? But because I was in the grocery business, I worked around entrepreneurs all my life. I wanted to have something of my own, right? So, you know. Well, anyway, before I get to the point where because I was a big shot then. I was really a big shot. I want you to know that. Eleanor, being raised in their family, her grandmother, I don't even know how to describe Nanny. I mean, if a house fell on her and her feet curled up with the striped socks, that'd be a good way you could probably, you know, and she could write Surrender Dorothy and get away with it. There are snapshots that you have in your life that you'll remember in your head. I'm going to share this snapshot, how God repays you to your face. He'll repay you to your face. She did not like Eleanor. You're too fat. You should be more like your cousin. You're not very pretty. She'd buy her clothes for her that were two sizes too small, just to embarrass her. This was her life. I can't believe. True? I'm not telling you the truth. Yeah. If you're listening, I don't know where she is. We won't say that. I don't know where she is, okay? I don't know where. Listen to this. This is a true story, church.
I've got to take this off YouTube.
Okay. Nanny could be arrogant, and she really, so Uncle Raymond passed away. Now, she doesn't like me to tell this story. Uncle Raymond passed away, so we go to the funeral home, which Moody Funeral Home is out there in Clinton. That's her family's funeral home, right, for very many years. Now, we walk in. I'm in a suit and tie. I'm with her, you know, black skirt, white, beautiful white blouse, black hat. Looked like she stepped off a magazine cover. Walk in. God is my witness. Walked in, walked up to Nanny, said, hi, Nanny. She said, hi, Denny, how are you? And who's your friend? And the expression on Nanny's face, I will take to the grave with me, because as she looked at her, you could see, and she actually physically had to sit down. She said, oh, my God, it's Eleanor. She didn't know her own granddaughter. It was one of the greatest moments of my life, I'm telling you. And I'm going, that's right, and she's with me. But no, you know what? You think having a good job, good wife, pretty wife, and all that stuff, and she had a good job. You think that'd be enough? No, I had to be a big shot. I had to have my own business. So friends of ours, or dear friends of ours, parents had bought a Hallmark shop. Were telling me how profitable it was. Now, here comes the great mistake. Now, I'm such a business genius, you're about to see. You're looking at one of the smartest men in the world business-wise. I said, all right, when I married her, I said, stick with me, kid, I'll get your name up in lights. Well, I did. It was a big sign that says Eleanor's Hallmark. It was up in lights on top of the building. So we buy this Hallmark shop. Hallmark shops are beautiful. They are profitable. And she was absolutely fabulous at that business. But her business genius husband decided to get the one that was in Sharon, PA. At the time, had the highest unemployment rate in the United States of 25%. Boy, do I know what I'm doing. And not only did I do that, I made her drive 63 miles one way and 63 miles back every day to run that shop.
On $50 for 2 weeks.
On $50, that's all we took for 2 weeks. It was her salary. So, now I signed the paper. We signed the paper, put up our house. Let me get this. I'm gonna read these as I remember. How about this? Eleanor's Hallmark Shop, Sharon, Pennsylvania. Here's our debt. The fixtures were $50,000. This is what we owed to Hallmark. That's all the cabinets and the shelving and the things that held the cards. And what am I leaving out? Jump in here.
Not at all. Shelving.
Okay, basically. The lady, we bought it from Jean Fritz. She had bought the Hallmark shop. It was a beautiful shop. She bought it for her daughter and gave it to her as a wedding gift. And 6 months later, she got the divorce and said, you can have us back, Mom. Stuck her mom pretty good. So she was agreeable to carry the mortgage on the stock, we made payments to her. Now, the note for the fixtures aren't due for a few years yet until we get on our feet. But now, we owe her that, the money for the stock, and we owe rent at approximately almost $1,300 a month is our rent, and assigned for almost 6 years. But we're in business. She left Silverman's. Great job at Silverman's. She worked in their accounting department. Yeah, and you know, it should have been enough for any normal person. Not me. Of course, we're not saved yet now. We're just like living the big shots. We got a Hallmark shop. Well, that shop did not do anything at all. I mean, there was not. We couldn't pay the electric bill. Nothing. Things weren't going very good in our life at the time. A couple car accidents. Not her fault. She was in a couple car accidents. I'd put my back out of place while we were hunting. Literally crawled through the woods for probably a mile because I could not walk. Got to the house, and I got back to the truck and wanted my cousin Jimmy to shoot me, but he didn't want to waste a deer tag, you know, put it in my ear. So I was in so much pain. I cried like a baby, did I not? I mean, I just wanted somebody to shoot me. I really did. Why isn't she hugged me? Well, why is all this bad stuff happening? I don't know. So now we come to this, and you know, my sister's leaving, going to church. Cousin Lynn's getting married. Let's go meet Pastor Van. Okay. So let's go, and we're going to want Steve to come here and preach. I said, okay, I'll do that. So I was always a man of my word. So on the 6th of July, Saturday evening, while laying on the couch, I looked over at Eleanor and said, I want to make a lot of people happy tomorrow and go to church. She leaped. Well, wait. So I said, do we have a Bible? She leaped up off the chair, went back and got this Bible. So why don't we go to church tomorrow? Okay. Well, I started reading through the Bible. As I read the Bible, my back was getting better and better. I had no idea why. And where did you start? Well, you start a book in the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's where I started reading right now. So we go to the church, pull up in front of the church on Donald Main Street. Not everybody in here hasn't been there, so you don't know. So we pull up in front of this church. Now, I'm not crazy. I'm going to church anyway, right? And there next to this church is a satellite dish that's the size of a small country.
That's right.
It's huge. It's huge. You can't miss it. There's the door. There's the dish.
Yeah.
I looked over at her. I said, if this pastor comes out and says he's got wires running to him and he's getting all his word from God from this satellite, I said, we're out of this zoo. I'm not staying here, right? So my sister Diane, my sister Sherry, our brother's coming to church. Oh, yeah, the roof's going to collapse. They're going to have to rebuild the building. And you know, all the typical stuff, right? She's on one side of me. Now, we had pews in that church. I think we still have one here, don't we, Pastor Jack, somewhere? Just wooden pews. So, now, I'm an end sitter. I sit in the end, I sit in the front. That's how I am. Well, I was in the middle, stuck in the middle. I had kids on both sides of me, my sister on both sides of me, her on the other side of me, people behind me. I wasn't going anywhere. I was in there, brother, let me tell you.
Been there, done that.
Been there, done. Oh, my God. So, all right, now, I'm looking at the stage, and there's drums, three guitars, organ, piano. So, well, I've been to folk masses, but I'm good, come on. I was raised Catholic. I went to a folk mass. I saw somebody play a guitar. God's not going to kill anybody for that, right? So the guys come out. They do three fast songs, and people were clapping and everything. I said, well, you know what? This is all right. And then they did the three slow songs, Pastor. And the church got quiet. I said, oh, this is what church is supposed to be. It's quiet. It's reverent. At least I know that much about church, right? They get the third song done, quiet song, and it's like quiet. And from behind me comes, and this lady went on for 5 minutes, and I know I was going to rip that pew out of the floor. What is this? Now, you think that's bad enough? That's right there should have got enough to make me exit. Pastor Bannon comes out, and what's attached to him? A wire. He's walking across the stage, there's a wire. I said, I knew it! He got it from the satellite. I knew it! It's funny, I don't even know why she even stayed with me. So I sit down, and this Pastor Bannon starts talking about this Jesus guy. I know, but I heard about Jesus. He can't wait to kill me. I know he's going to kill me as soon as I walk out the door. I shouldn't even be here. He talked about this Jesus guy like he was alive, like he was my friend, like he wanted to do something for me. And, I mean, 45 minutes went by, you can't tell it went by so fast. And he said, I don't want to embarrass anybody. He said, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, come up front. And I grabbed Eleanor's hand, and we ran up front. And he looked at me and said, will you give your life to Christ? I said, absolutely. Prayed for me. I did the sinner's prayer. And our life was changed. Our life was changed immediately. Now, we've been married almost 9 years. We were told we couldn't have children. She was barren. No way to have kids. Impossible. Doctor's words, not my words. Okay. My heart was like this. Hard as a stone. I don't want kids. In fact, hi, Daniel. Cousin, my son Daniel's listening on the YouTube or on the satellite right now. I don't know where my son Denny is. He'll hear about it. Anyway. So God was working on us at the time. We're in this Hallmark shop, and we're losing everything. We've turned our life over to Christ. Not because of all that stuff. We just ministered to our hearts. So, Pastor did a teaching on tithing. Pastor Ben did a teaching on tithing. So as the man of the house, I came home and said, woman, we are going to start tithing today and forever. No, it did not go like that. Eleanor decided to start tithing out of the Hallmark shop when there was no money for the electric bill. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Well, during the ride up back and forth to Sharon, I had a lot of time to listen to the radio, and I happened to listen to a gentleman by the name of Reverend Green out of North Carolina. Now, he was an older gentleman. I don't even think he even is alive anymore. But he was talking one day about tithing, and I thought, that's something we need to be doing. Well, I knew how he was, and I about finances, so I didn't really say a word to him.
She did not.
And he would help me on Saturdays, and I'd go back, and I'd be doing the books. And as I'm doing the books, I'm taking cash and putting it in an envelope. Didn't put our names on it because I'm not doing this for show. This is what God told me to do. I pulled it out, and I started putting in every Sunday when we'd go to church, I'd put the envelope in. He knew nothing about it. Nope. I never said a word to him. And I just kept praying and asking God, you've got to give us direction. Let him hear from you to know what we need to do. So when he said, we're going to start tithing, I just went, we already are.
You know, what was really cool was that in Sharon, PA, there's a great shoe store called Ryers. Yeah. A world-famous shoe store. It's huge. It was an old building, 3 stories high. Well, he decided to move next to our Hallmark shop into an old Giant Eagle store. She started tithing, and now I'm on board with it, and tour buses literally parked in front of our door. When they got off the bus, they had to walk to the door of our shop before they could go to either side of it. And people poured into our shop. It was all God. Now, you know what? And I didn't read it. I'll give you the scripture verse. Acts chapter 10, Peter says, I perceive of the truth God is no respecter of persons. This is why we're doing this morning. We're not doing this to say, hey, look at us. What God has done for us, we're just average people. He'll do for everybody that's sitting in this room. Everybody that's listening on tape, he'll do. He's no respecter of persons. God did this. You know, once I got my fat head out of the way, God did this. You know, Eleanor was always more receptive at the time to the Spirit, you know, because she knew about Jesus long before I did. And we had a lot of people reminding me of that in our family, too. You know, finally found the Jesus I've known all my life. A lot of religious demons were released. Yeah. So, because in the meantime, what happens, we go to visit Pastor Johnny Davis' church. Those of you that never met Pastor John Davis was Pastor Bannon's cousin. Him and his wife, just two of the greatest people I've ever met. He had a church up in Warren, Ohio. And we went to visit him to see some guy named Barkley. Yeah. Pastor Barkley. Who's Pastor Barkley? So we go into this gymnasium, and I sit in the back seat, because I don't know anybody here. I'm sitting in the back row. Who here has seen Pastor Barkley? You have seen him? Okay. You know when he's ministering, he stops and gives the Spirit to him. He goes into almost like a trance type thing. And I'm sitting in the back row. Okay, good preaching, you know, obviously. He said, you. He said, you. And I looked over my shoulder. Who's he? I'm sitting in the back wall. He said, you, get up here. Well, okay. I walk up this guy. Right? He takes his finger, sticks at my heart, and says, you're going to be a pillar in the church. And I went over like somebody shot me with a rifle. I never, we've traced the prophecy's written somewhere here. I don't know where it is. I thought I had it at the house. but he talked about how we'd be a pillar in the church, and it was just a great prophecy. Now this is where now we're still dealing with the Sharon thing. Now go ahead.
Okay. Well, and like God will get you out of things. He'll make a way for you. Well, while we're going through what we're going through, I'm not able to even buy cards because you only have 7 days to pay that bill.
That bill is Palmer.
So I'm kind of like spreading out the cards, making it look like there's merchandise in the store. And I get a phone call from a gentleman that owns Daffin's Candies.
Yeah.
And he Fabulous. Said, I'd like to have a meeting with you. And I said, okay. So I told him about it. And he goes, go meet him. What can it hurt? So I walked up to the shop, and him and I sat for about an hour. And he said, I would like you to come work for me. I have a couple stores I want to open, and I want you to run these Hallmark stores for me. And I said, okay. I says, but I've got one. He goes, that's not the one I'm talking about. It would have been close to home, Coriopolis. He was doing all this site work, and he wanted me to work for him.
He makes fabulous candy, too, by the
way.
Yes,
he does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I went home. I said, I've got to think about it and pray about it. I told him about it. He goes, that's a great opportunity. I said, yes, but we still have this one to worry about. I have bills to pay with this one. Well, it got to the point even where the rent wasn't even to be able to pay. I called the gentleman who was in charge of the whole complex.
Shopping center, yeah.
And I told him, I said, I am so sorry. I can't meet this month's rent. Well, he said, can you pay half? And I said, I can try. So we paid half. God sent the money in. God sent the money in to pay the electric bill. He sent the money in to pay the ladies we had working for us.
Free employees.
And finally, it got to the point, I said to Denny, I can't do this any longer. My nerves are getting stressed, to say the least. Yeah. And I just asked God, I said, you have to deliver us. Well, I'm thinking, okay, some guy come in, he looked, he goes, I'd like to buy your shop. Well, that didn't
pan out. The ultimate customer.
So I called Hallmark because our note was coming due for the fixtures.
The $50,000?
I said, look, I don't have the money. What do you want us to do? He said, we'll get back to you. We'll work something out with you. I went, okay. So I called the lady who did the inventory for us. It was holding that, Jean Fritz. And I said, I'm sorry, but I can't even meet your payment this month. She goes, are you looking to get out of that store? And I said, yes. She said, well, why don't I just take all of your stock? And I went, okay. She took it all back.
As payment in full
for what we owed her. So she got everything. We packed it up, shipped it out. Next thing I know, I get a phone call again, and it's from Pete Daffin. Pete Daffin says, I just bought all your fixtures. And I went,
you bought all of them.
You bought all my fixtures? He goes, yeah. I talked to Hallmark. I bought all the fixtures. Are you still considering? I said, well, I've got to really talk it over with my husband. So when everything started going out the door, the last day, I had talked to the people we owed the rent to. I said, I've sold the kind of like the fixtures. We have nothing anymore. I said, I know I'm on the line to pay your rent and that. The gentleman says, no, you're not. I will find someone to fill that shop.
How's that? That's the favor of God.
I mean, God made a way.
Yep.
But had I not honored God, that probably would have never happened.
It wouldn't have
like
happened. Yeah, because he said, you guys have been great tenants. Don't worry about it. We'll find somebody. That was really cool about it, right? And, you know, Eleanor, we made some great friends in Sharon. And she ran that Hallmark shop. People just loved her. And with the flower arrangements and helping people with their weddings and all the things. I mean, you can see the benefit of what, I mean, this isn't all Eleanor. Obviously, Debbie Osmond helped with this. Teresa, everybody, I don't want to forget anybody that helps out with the decorating here. But she really has a gift for that stuff. You know, our house has glitter on things that I didn't even know we had. Because there's always doing something there. But God honored this. Okay, you understand why we're telling this story? Because God honored this. Now, she never did take that position with Pete Daffin. So what happens now, we're out of business. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Whenever I closed the door for the last time, And I had been getting sick. I didn't know why, but I wasn't feeling well. And I told him it must be nerves. I had gone to the doctor. We turned the key in there to lock it for the last time. I got a phone call. I was pregnant with Denny.
With Denny, how's that? a woman who couldn't have children.
Yeah.
And we're grandparents now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's how God can deliver you. Now, this didn't happen overnight. Now there was a storm we stood through, and this is our testimony so far. I can't give you all of it because we don't have the time to do that. But a couple of highlights: our roots in this church, because of my sisters, because of Pastor Bannon, his teaching, Pastor Jack, not his teaching. Our roots are here. We're here. 36 years, we're not going anywhere. We're here, right? And and God gets all the glory for it. Now, I'm saved now. Right, I have a great job. I'm sales manager, company car, expense account. Things are okay. We're doing good, right? And now I'm so excited about being saved. I want everybody that I know and love to feel and I know they will, because all I have to do is tell them about it, right? And my evangelistic gift was on full display, F-O-O-L, full display. Oh yeah. I shared the gospel with my family at a family picnic. When we were roasting hot dogs in this giant grill, and it was 100 degrees, literally 100 degrees in the air temperature. This grill is so stinking hot. We're standing in front of it. Everybody's going, man, and we're cooking hot dogs. Man, that's really hot. I said, yeah, if you think this is hot, where you're going is really hot unless you get your life turned around. Oh, my family just loved me. They just ran for me. I used to be fun. I was a lot of fun until you got this Jesus guy in your life. And all this. Oh, yeah. Yeah, both of us. Our family's just. Well, yeah, Eleanor, she was never one to back down from a good fight. So, but that was one of the things that happened, and we were in the church. So Denny's born, 4 years. Because of the ladies that are pregnant here, we can't go into the whole story about our kids being born. It's a fabulous testimony. It's a powerful testimony of God's power. But I won't do that because part of that is very, very stormy, and anybody that's carrying a baby doesn't need to hear that. But needless to say, Denny came into the world. And Dr. Karim Khani was so angry. Her doctor was so angry at me. She's standing there with tapping. I could still hear it. There was one of them snapshots. She's tapping the pen on this. And I'm looking at her. And she looks at me. She takes her pen and sticks it right in my face and says, there's no medical reason for your baby to be here. She was arrogant about it. She said, I'm not going to tell you what to do, so do as you please. And 4 years later, he sent us Daniel. That's how Dr. Daniel got here. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, our kids growing up, I have to say this, tell you, full disclosure, our kids had drug problems growing up. I mean, we drug them to church on Sunday morning. We drug them to church on Sunday night. We drug them to church on Wednesday evening. We drug them to church every time the gates were open. So, and Denny, God bless him, he was just the most powerful son. I mean, he did everything the opposite we asked him to do. And I wanted to kill him. Wouldn't look in a book, wouldn't study, wouldn't nothing. Tattoos, drinking, everything else, smoking, anything else that just made. I'm in the ministry, son. Dan was a different spirit. Yeah, we were convinced we found him in a crop circle somewhere. Denny met. Show you how God can work in your life. We were saying over our kids since before they were born, you have the mind of Christ and tongue of the learned. All the promises of Psalm 91 belong to you.
Yeah.
You're vessels of honor.
Yeah.
What's that?
He wouldn't go to school. I was begging him. I was fighting with him, and he told me, leave the kid alone. So I did.
And he did. Of course, he couldn't come to work. Now, in the meantime, now we've bought the pizza shop. Denny's 4 years old, and Daniel was only about the pizza shop. Well, as Denny got older, he couldn't work for Dad. No, he didn't want to be seen with me. So he went to work for a Subway, and next to the Subway was the Children's Hospital satellite operating place. It's up in Wexford. And he got to know the people over there, and guy wanted him to come over and help clean the hospital rooms. So he goes over there, go to work, leaves Subway, and the three nurses literally cornered him and said, boy, you are too smart for this. You're going to do something with your life. You're going to check out nursing. And it was like it consumed him. He got into these medical books and never took his face out of them.
You're right.
It was amazing. And we're looking at each other. Like, really? Who's this kid? Who are you? What have you done with our oldest son? And Dan's watching him. Dan's going, I said, I like what he's doing because nursing, but I can't do the bodily fluids. And Dan was always interested in the chiropractic end of it. And we would go to Gary Weinstein. He was always down on Gary's face watching him adjust. And we didn't know what God had planned for Daniel. We just said the same thing over him. You have the mind of Christ, tongue of the learned. Never say anything bad about our kids. Now, the fact that we ended up staying in this church, you can't imagine this. I actually offended a few people. I know you find it hard to believe. But where's Anthony? Anthony, I think you were standing next to me at the old church when some lady came in and promptly announced, we were seating people then, promptly announced, I want to be seated down front because I'm used in the gift of the Spirit. And I said, not today. Not today, you're not. But Anthony, it was you, right? Because the lady was going, how dare you talk to a prophetess? And she was all, I said, until you sit down and talk to Pastor Ben, and you're not going to say two words here. And it turned out she was like, she wasn't in left field, but she was actually helping build left field. She was out there. And then we didn't have a PA system in the old church, but if we did, one of the announcements you would have heard continuously, well, the parents of Dean Osmond and Dennis Vish, please come to the pastor's office now. Am I right, Dean? These two kids. Yeah. And they were either fighting with each other, causing problems, any of us, right? Well, lifelong friendship developed. They are truly, we consider young Dean our son. I mean, that's just how we are. Those, Denny and Dean actually have the same blood type, gunpowder. Yeah. It's gunpowder. It's true. And why we weren't asked to leave the church then, I still don't know. And then, I offended a family because I had the audacity, Bill, if you can imagine, I had the audacity. I yelled at their child. No. I yelled at their child. Yeah? And they were, how dare you? Religious demons. How dare you yell at our child? We don't ever raise our voice. We never yell at them. Never. Who do you think you are? Would you like to know why I raised my voice to the child? He wasn't beating another child. He wasn't throwing rocks at somebody. He wasn't doing anything except running across a sidewalk between two parked cars into a busy street. Mm. And I yelled, stop. In front of the old church. I'm not kidding you. And they left the church over that. Okay? So I've been known to offend people. Sorry. Well, this went a little longer than I thought it was going to go. Sorry, church. I hope everybody all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm to keep everybody awake here. Let's see. I have 400 pages of notes. I'm just teasing. The prophecy of Pastor Barclay, once that came over me, also released all the demons in hell on us. I promptly lost my job, sales manager job. Now, not only that, the owner's not working. I have sales manager job, took the car, took the expense account, took everything. Everything. Took it away from me and laughed about it. Thought it was funny. The guys let me go, wouldn't look at me. I said, you two better look at me. And you know what, folks? You know how grateful we people got to be that I was saved then? Because I'm the guy with the fatigues and the rifle that went down to that office, and I'm not kidding you. That's how angry I was. Took everything. Because all I could see was a black wall. When I'm sharing with, if you've ever lost a job or anything like that, a black wall went up for us. I could not see past what was on the nose of my face. I couldn't see past it. We sat on our couch and cried. Cried. And I looked at her through the tears and said, this is going to be a great testimony someday. That was the first words out of my mouth about it. So the next day, these guys are smirking at me. So I go back home. I have to sign the papers of release. Go back home, sit down. I'm writing some notes down, things that I might want to do. And a name came up, a gentleman's name named Harvey Potashman, Jewish guy. Since my selling days started in the early 70s, I always found favor with the Jewish people. I called in their stores. They'd like me as a Gentile. It just doesn't happen. But I found favor with these people. To the point the diamond ring she's wearing was actually set up by a lady who actually had an 8-carat pair of diamonds she wore with her other diamonds. She sent me up her diamond merchant to buy it and then gave us the rings and settings as a gift. Estelle Braver, just a great lady. She wanted me to convert to, she wanted me to become a Jew. And I didn't do it on purpose, but we just had a kindred spirit of some sort. I called him. He was outraged that I was fired because he had four big stores that took very good care of him. He said, I'll get back to you. Gets back to me. He says, here's, call this gentleman and this other company. I said, okay. So I call this guy. He's not in. He said, I'll get back to you. So this manager, actually the vice president of the company, calls me Gateway Foods, second largest grocery wholesaler in the country. He said, "Hey, Denny," I said, "I got a call from Harvey Potterman. How you doing?" I said, "Okay." He said, "I understand you're looking for a job." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I was a sales manager for a long time." He said, "Well, how long ago did you lose your job?" I said, "About 4 hours ago, local time." He said, "What?" He said, "You're not letting any grass grow under your feet." I said, "No." I said, "I worked all my life." I said, "This is really making me nuts." He said, "Okay, give me 10 minutes. Come back." He said, "You're hired." 4 hours. I was out of work for 4 hours. He said, "No, I can't put you to work for about a month yet." He said, "I got to move the position around." He said, "Better salary, company car, expense account." Everything was restored to me. Everything was restored to me. Okay? Now, it's an awesome story. I found favor with this company. I stayed with them for a while. They were bought out, bought, sold. Process of me leaving Foodland, somebody, we don't know who, somebody set an account up for me. And somebody deposited some money for me. Vicki, this is what I was telling you about last week. I don't know nothing about this. I left the company. Hey, didn't call fire down on them. I'll tell you what, the people let me go and laughed at me. Had some horrible things happen to them, but not because of my prayers. I mean, died early, heart attack, cancer took a wife, cancer took them. Just things that, because there was no justification for it. So I never thought of it. Boom, gone. Didn't taken. That's been taken from me. Okay, gone. So I never think about it. I'm with another company. I end up with sheet stores for a while. And then, you know, the pizza shop was growing. We were honoring God out of it. We bought the pizza shop when Daniel was one. We started honoring God right away. That didn't take off. It was a battle. But God honored it. He honored it. And then now with the COVID thing, it's off the hinges now. We can't even handle what we're doing down there. So on my 65th birthday, what was that, 20 years ago? On my 65th birthday, a check, an envelope comes in the mail, and I open it up, and there's a check with my name on it, right, with this much money.
Yeah.
And I get this every week. You've been approved for $50,000, just sign right here. You know, you got $100,000 for your business, just sign right here. Then when you turn that over, it's 22 or 24% interest.
Right.
24, you know, and I think it's compounded monthly or so. It's ridiculous. You know, one thing about tithing. And this story is not just about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about tithing and tithers' rights. God's never raised the rates on us.
Right.
How's that? He's never raised the rates. So this check's got this much money. I think you're kidding me. I said, I'm looking. It says Gateway Foods. Gateway Foods was the company I used to work for 25 years ago. So I laid it down on the counter. Said, I'm looking at this. I never seen that much money written on a check with my name on it ever. I didn't think you could put that much money on a check. Well, okay. So she comes home. I said, would you read that? Said, see if I'm reading it. She's going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And it was somebody had set up a retirement account for me. I don't think I contributed very much to it, but God multiplied it huge over 25 years.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Restored it. See, that's one of the stories that's in the Bible, one of my favorites. The wealthy lady who built the house, a little shack for the place for the prophet to stay in, and her little boy dies, blesses him with a little boy. Boy dies, and she has everything restored to her because she honored God first.
Right.
To where 7 years later, after the famine, the assistant of the prophet's telling the story to the king. King says, "Where is this? Is the lady right here?" So gave it all back to her. So what happened to us? It was all restored to us. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much that's a to make a long story even longer. We give God the glory for what he's done for us. He's kept us together. I mean, really, she's my best friend. She's my helpmeet. I can't imagine my life without her. I just can't. Everything we do as a team. If you're a business, if you have a business, business partner should be your wife or your spouse. Should be. Jesus should be your CEO, the head. Take the vice president chair. You'd be a lot better off, as I learned quickly. But what he did for us. Now, in case anybody wants to get jealous, I'm going to read one fast scripture, and then we're going to close with this. It's in 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this. There you go. Come on, electronics are a menace to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this scripture. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, Dean's always saying it's a family reunion. It's a family reunion. We jump down to verse 25. This is Paul writing. And we are indeed a family, but we're more than just family, church. We really are. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another.
Right.
We're taking the time to do this because we care for you.
Amen.
Because what God did for us, He'll do for you. He just will do it for you. Okay? That. But what we went through it. We're still going through it. We're living it. What we're talking about here, we're living this. Okay? People say, well, you live in Swift. I said, well, if you want what I have, do what we did. That's all. You can do it just like anything. You know, I'm not talking about mansions and stuff like that. Oh, that's the other thing I had to correct. Sorry. I said about getting out of debt. The purpose was to get you out of debt. Homeless people are out of debt. I don't want you just out of debt. I want you to have an abundance where you can help other people.
Amen.
Now, not just be out of debt. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. You don't think about your little toe very much, but you drive your toe into the coffee table and the pain that comes through that, you'll say things you don't mean, and every member of the body will turn its attention to the little toe that has just been smashed against the table that's been there for all its life, and you, for some reason, decided to kick it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Yeah.
You want to prosper? Truly, truly prosper. Pay your tithes and do your offerings, but legitimately be happy when somebody prospers.
Nice.
I don't care if it's jobs, family, kids, whatever it is. I mean, legitimately rejoice over somebody that has something great happen to them.
Amen.
And when something bad, when you hurt, body hurts. But man, when something good happens, that's just rejoicing. And I always said, because I'm next. I know I'm next. I always looked at it that way. And one time I didn't, but I learned now. You know, one time I looked at my wallet and there was an abundance of nothing there. And we used to always say, we started out with nothing and still have most of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how it is now. You know, and we can see needs and help now. And it's all because Eleanor, she did the whole thing. She started tithing. And we're obedient to God. Amen?
Amen.
So I hope I didn't bore anybody. I hope this helps anybody that's listening back there on camera. And if you ever have any questions about how we operate our business, come to me. We're not nothing hidden, nothing shy about it. Here's what we do. We give. It's not necessarily money. We give pizza away. We give all kind of stuff away. And we don't do it because let's give and see what we get. No. The giving spirit, it's on us. Amen? So thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
We'll pray for you right now and say, Father, we thank you for everybody that's represented here in this church.